So let's welcome in our next guest, Switch It Up, talk some BYU football. Former BYU tight end. You can find him on Twitter at RichardWilson18. It is Richard Wilson. Richard, thanks for joining us.
Hey, Richard.
Thanks for having me, guys. How you guys doing?
Well, we're getting ready for the football season. We're getting excited. Spring ball's coming up, and hopefully we'll get a little more access as fans and media this year now that there's not as much secrecy around the new schemes on offense and defense. But what are the biggest differences you're expecting to see now that Tanner Mangum's taking over this program at quarterback?
You know, I think it'll, you know, just go a lot more smooth, you know, and you're not going to be a battle that they're having to worry about. There's kind of a, you know, he's our quarterback, this is what we're doing, we're going forward, and I think that, you know, that they'll start moving the offense towards his strengths rather than, you know, doing what they did last year with Taysom, so.
BYU this year, and I don't think any of these guys are going to be on the roster next season. I think they're all going on a mission. But they had three tight ends in this class. That's really unusual. Generally, it's one or two guys at most. Do you expect to see the tight end position kind of come back in strength under Ty Detmer?
Oh, definitely. I think you saw a little bit of it this year. You know, every game I was just super jealous that the tight ends were actually getting thrown to. You know, and I think that with Baldry, he did pretty well. And, you know, they didn't use him a ton, but, you know, when they did throw the ball to him, he did pretty well and he made plays. So I think I can see Ty incorporating them more into the offense.
Did you follow recruiting at all? Did you get a chance to take a look at BYU's class this year?
I definitely did, yeah. I was kind of, you know, checking through Twitter that day to kind of see what was going on, who was signing. I think it's a pretty solid class. You know, Chaz IU decided to come here, and I think that's a big pickup to pick up a local kid like that. So,
do you remember what went into your recruiting process and some of the big deciding factors? Because I remember you being pretty heavily recruited at one point, weren't you, Richard?
Yeah, I was, actually. The funny thing is the day before signing day, UCLA decided to offer me. Norm Chow called me because my buddy Xavier decided to go there. And so he kind of put the pressure on me to postpone my signing, and I ended up not doing that, but it was kind of crazy. It's kind of just the way it goes in recruiting. You know, it comes down to the last second sometimes. So
looks like BYU under Kalani Sitake is starting to stretch into some different areas. They're taking guys kind of sight unseen. They're offering different players. Is that something that can work at BYU, knowing that there is, you know, this honor code that isn't at every school that you find across the country?
Yeah, I think it is. I mean, I think Kalani, you know, he's doing his research on guys, making sure that they'll be a fit. You know, obviously he's not going to, you know, recruit a kid if he doesn't think he's going to make it here. And so, you know, that's part of his recruiting policy is, you know, to kind of see what the what his, you know, personality is like, how he does, and I think he's doing just fine.
What do you think the biggest hole BYU has to fill in next year? Where is that issue? I mean, is it on the offensive line? I mean, is the secondary going to be a bigger hole to fill? Where is it, in your opinion?
I mean, obviously, losing Jamal is huge. It's hard to replace a guy like that, but I think, you know, Squally will come in and do awesome. He did well when he was in there this year, especially when Jamal was down. And so that's probably the biggest one, you know, to replace Jamal. You know, it's hard to do that. And so probably running back, and then I'd say they need some receivers to step up and make some plays. That's probably the biggest thing for Tanner, you know, especially starting off the season early, just getting his confidence up and keeping it throughout the season.
Former BYU tight end Richard Wilson's our guest, 1320K fan. BYU announced this morning a couple of new matchups they've got coming up. Most notably, they're playing a home-and-home with San Diego State. Do you like seeing BYU play some of those Mountain West Conference teams that you got to play against? Should they aim higher? Do they need to have, you know, three or four of those on their schedule every year?
You know, I think San Diego State's a great team. You know, they did extremely well this year, and it seemed like every time we played them, it was a great game. You know, we played them in the bowl game back in 2012, I think it was. They're a really great team, and, you know, I think they get a lot of good recruits out of California, and, you know, I love seeing it. They're a great matchup and a fun team to watch, so it'll be fun to see.
Does BYU's recruiting footprint change at all, in your opinion, under Kalani Sitake? I mean, can BYU try to recruit in different areas than what Bronco was using for 12 years?
You know, I think you've seen it a little bit already. We're starting to reach out into different parts that we haven't recruited in before. You know, I think Kalani's just going to do everything he can to get the best players here and show people that, you know, BYU's awesome and we can win games and, you know, we can go up against anybody.
Richard, you've seen a lot of guys you played with go on and have success at the next level, but what was it like watching Kyle Van Noy out there making plays on a Super Bowl team and then getting all that FaceTime? I mean, he kept showing up on the cameras on Fox during the Super Bowl.
Oh, I love that. Kyle's one of my best friends, and nothing more excites me than seeing him do well and be in a place where, you know, he's put in a position where he can make plays. He actually FaceTimed me at 5 o'clock in the morning the day after, told me he hadn't slept. He was pretty excited, and, you know, it was super fun to watch and super proud of him and, you know, taking advantage of the opportunity he was given.
Does he feel like he's going to stick around for the long term in New England, or is there a chance maybe he gets a lucrative free agent deal from someone else?
You know, from the sounds of it and, you know, talking to him and seeing kind of things Bill Belichick has said about him, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if after his contract's up, he re-signs. You know, he's one of Belichick's type of players that he likes to have on his team, someone that works hard and, you know, isn't going to cause problems. And I think Kyle fits into that system really well, and I think he can thrive there.
Did you sense frustration from him with the way the Lions were using him and the fact that, I mean, they traded him with a sixth-round pick, and they got almost nothing back. Did he feel like they'd given up on him?
I don't think they really felt like he'd given up on him, you know, because he had started, you know, the first 7 games for him this season. I think it was more of a surprise for him. You know, obviously, you know, with his career, you know, getting hurt a lot and, you know, not getting along with coaches, I think it was tough on him. And so, you know, there was times where, you know, he wasn't, you know, super excited with what he was dealt. But, you know, it happened at a second. Literally, I talked to him the morning after a game, and he said he was feeling good, and the next hour he was traded, headed to Boston. So, you know, that's kind of just the industry that they live in. It's kind of cutthroat. And but, you know, he ended up in a sweet situation, and he won a Super Bowl. So
you can find him on Twitter, at RichardWilson18, former BYU tight end. Richard, really great stuff. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Richard.
Yeah. Thanks for having me, guys.